morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up, we'll listen to some of the highlights of yesterday's second day of the impeachment trial, and we'll listen to some of the newly released video and audio that never before has been made public. We're also going to get your comments about this, too. And there's a controversy at Fox News over how well they're covering the impeachment trial. We'll listen in on that controversy, too. So stick around. It's going to be a good program. First, three listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we were talking about the first day of the impeachment trial, and we're going to listen to what several listeners had to say. All right, here are some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program.
This is Jeff from Tarpon Springs. I was watching that whole thing today. I mean, after your show at noon when the impeachment thing came on, I urge everyone, and this number has been put out by Hartman, call 202-224-3121 and talk to our senators. Hell, if you got relatives in other states, give them the number, have them call their senators. Something's got to be done about this.
This is Sharon from St. Pete. I was just calling to let everybody know that the Southern Poverty Law Center for several years has been reporting on the increase of crimes of white supremacy and hate crimes in the United States. And you can get their monthly newsletter at stlcenter.org. And that's the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they're a really good organization and very informational. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
This is David in Tampa, and I was leaving a message about Radioactivity from today. And I've talked with some friends about the appeal of Trump to his supporters. And, you know, Trump has always had this kind of I whine until I win philosophy. And he just acts like a professional victim all the time. And I think that the Trumpsters who stormed the Capitol feel they are professional victims, too. And it's disappointing that they continue to fall for Trump's con game. So, yeah, just a messy situation. But I'm glad that he's being held to account with the impeachment trial right now.
Well, those are some of the listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And coming up right now, we're going to hear some of the excerpts from yesterday's second day of the impeachment trial. And we want to get your comments as we're listening back to this. Our comment line, one way to do it is to send us an email to dj@wmnf.org. And you can also call us up at 813-239-9663. We're going to hear some of the oral arguments that were made yesterday. A little bit later on, we'll hear some of the audio from the new video that's just been uncovered. But here is some of the some of the arguments made yesterday about why President Trump should be found guilty of incitement to insurrection. And we're going to hear first the House impeachment managers are making this argument.
One of our Capitol officers who defended us, that I'll tell you a final sad story in this kaleidoscope of sadness and terror and violence. One of our Capitol officers who defended us that day was a longtime veteran of our force, a brave and honorable public servant who spent several hours battling the mob as part of one of those blue lines defending the Capitol in our democracy. For several hours straight, as the marauders punched and kicked and mauled and spit upon and hit officers with baseball bats and fire extinguishers, cursed the cops, and stormed our Capitol, he defended us and he lived every minute of his oath of office. And afterwards, overwhelmed by emotion, he broke down in the rotunda. And he cried for 15 minutes. And he shouted out, I got called an N-word 15 times today. And then he recorded, I sat down with one of my buddies, another black guy, and tears just started streaming down my face. And I said, what the F, man? Is this America? That's the question before all of you in this trial. Is this America? Can our country and our democracy ever be the same if we don't hold accountable the person responsible for inciting the violent attack against our country, our capital, and our democracy, and all of those who serve us so faithfully and honorably? Is this America?
President Trump once again failed us, because when the violence erupted, when we and the law enforcement officials protecting us, protecting you, were under attack, as each of you were being evacuated from this chamber from a violent mob, as we were being evacuated from the House, he could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. It was his duty as commander-in-chief to stop the violence, and he alone had that power. Not just because of his unique role as commander-in-chief, but because they believed that they were following his orders. And for those who question just how bad it was, criminal complaints recently unsealed by the Department of Justice are more than revealing. You'll see one of these documents on the screen. In the charging affidavit of one of the leaders of the Proud Boys, we learned that members of this group said, I'm going to quote, they would have killed Mike Pence if given the chance. In another, we learned of a tweet in real time while they were in the building stating, we broke into the Capitol. We got inside. We did our part. We were looking for Nancy Pelosi to shoot her in the frickin' brain, but we didn't find her. And for anyone who suggests otherwise, these defendants themselves have told you exactly why they were here. You'll see this in the trial. That in the halls of the Capitol, on social media, in news interviews, and in charging documents, they confirm they were following the president's orders. You can see some of the statements on that screen. One who said, Trump wants all able-bodied patriots. Another, that President Trump is calling us to fight. This isn't a joke. Another one, I thought I was following my president. I thought I was following what we were called to do. Our president wants us here. We wait and take orders from the president. He made them believe over many weeks that the election was stolen and they were following his command to take back their country.
President Trump's actions time and time again made clear that he would do anything and pressure anyone if it meant overturning the election results. We watched President Trump use any means necessary to pursue this aim, feverishly grasping for straws at retaining his hold on the presidency. But all his efforts prior to January 6 kept failing. And finally, in his desperation, he turned on his own vice president. How did our exceptional country get to the point where a violent mob attacked our Capitol, murdering a police officer, assaulting over 140 other officers? How do we get to the point where rioters desecrated, defiled, and dishonored your Senate chamber, where the very place in which you sit became a crime scene, and where National Guard troops still patrol outside wearing body armor? I'll show you how we got here. President Donald J. Trump ran out of nonviolent options to maintain power.
Make no mistake, the violence was not just foreseeable to President Trump. The violence was what he deliberately encouraged. As early as September, Trump set the precedent that when asked to denounce violence, he would do the opposite and encourage it. Now, if the president had only said something once about fighting to stop the steal and violence erupted, there would be no way to know he intended to incite it.
Okay, so having a little trouble with our playback system here, and we will get back to this in just a moment. You're listening to some of the highlights from yesterday's House impeachment arguments made by, we're listening to Democrats right now, and among the people we've heard so far, Jamie Raskin of Maryland, and Stacey Plaskett from the Virgin Islands, and Joe Neguse from Colorado. And we're going to try to rejoin that in just a moment, as we listen to some of the highlights of yesterday's impeachment arguments, arguing that former President Trump...
One of our Capitol officers who defended impeached. Us...
And we are obviously having some trouble with our playback system here, so that's why we're doing this. So we're going to rejoin it in just a second. And this is 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa, and now we rejoin the arguments for impeaching President Trump.
Or saw it coming. But just as the president spent months spreading his big lie of the election, he also spent months cultivating groups of people who, following his command, repeatedly engaged in real, dangerous violence. And when they did, when the violence erupted as a response to his calls to fight against the stolen election, he did not walk it back. He did not tell them no. He did the opposite. The opposite. He praised and encouraged the violence so that it would continue. He fanned the flame of violence, and it worked. You'll see this over time. These very groups and individuals whose violence the president praised helped lead the attack on January 6th. And that's how we know clearly that President Trump deliberately incited this, and how we know he saw it coming.
And so they came, draped in Trump's flag, and used our flag, the American flag, to batter and to bludgeon. And at 2:30, I heard that terrifying banging on House chamber doors. For the first time in more than 200 years, the seat of our government was ransacked on our watch.
This year is 20 years since the attacks of September 11th. And almost every day, I remember that 44 Americans gave their lives to stop the plane that was headed to this Capitol building. I thank them every day for saving my life and the life of so many others. Those Americans sacrifice their lives for love of country, honor, duty, all the things that America means. The Capitol stands because of people like that. This Capitol that was conceived by our founding fathers, that was built by slaves, that remains through the sacrifice of service men and women around the world. And when I think of that, and I think of these insurgents, these images incited by our own president of the United States, attacking this Capitol to stop the certification of a presidential election, our democracy, our republic.
A president's words have the power to move people to action. When he wanted to incite his supporters to show up on January 6th, President Trump tweeted 16 times between midnight on January 5th and his noon rally speech the next day. And his message in those 16 times was clear: fight, Stay strong. Be strong. But when the violence started, he never once said the one thing everyone around him was begging him to say. Stop the attack. He refused to stop it. And as Governor Christie and Representative Kinzinger and others made clear, only Donald Trump could have stopped that attack. President Donald Trump was at the time our Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America. He took a solemn oath to preserve, protect, and defend this country, and he failed to uphold that oath. But I think it's important we understand what the Capitol Police were facing, how severely they were outnumbered, while our Commander-in-Chief, whose job it was to protect and defend them, was just watching, doing nothing for hours, refusing to send help. If he wanted to protect these officers, if he cared about their safety, as he tweeted about, he would have told his supporters to leave. He would have sent help right away. And one brave officer was killed. Others took their lives after the attack. More than 140 police officers were injured, including cracked ribs, smashed spinal discs. One officer will lose an eye. Another was stabbed with a metal fence stake. They were completely and violently overwhelmed by a mob and needed help. And our Commander-in-Chief, President Trump, refused to send it. Senators, you've seen all the evidence so far, and this is clear. On January 6th, President Trump left everyone in this Capitol for dead.
Some of the opening arguments yesterday as the House members who were leading the impeachment team for the Democrats were making their arguments that Donald Trump should be found guilty. The team, and we didn't hear all of them, but the team includes Jamie Raskin of Maryland, Joaquin Castro of Texas, David Cicilline of Rhode Island, Madeline Dean of Pennsylvania, Stacey Plaskett of the Virgin Islands, Joe Neguse from Colorado, Ted Lieu from California, Diane DeJet from Colorado, and Eric Swalwell from Colorado. We only heard some of them making those arguments. We're going to hear more in just a moment. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's take a few phone calls based on what we heard just there. Let's go to Mike in Brandon. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Good morning. Good morning. I've already seen my first impeach Biden bumper sticker, which I thought was kind of interesting. But here's the thing. The representatives are making a very, very persuasive argument, and they're really talking to at least my opinion, they're talking to us, not so much the senators. The senators, for the most part, have made up their mind. But here's the thing, and this is what I would ask you. It's a wild card. What are your thoughts on having witnesses?
What are my thoughts on having witnesses? I don't make the rules. I think they're trying to do this pretty quickly and get the work done. They've got 16 hours of presenting arguments. We are hearing some witnesses. We're actually hearing the voices of the people that were trying to overtake the Capitol. And as we'll hear in a moment, some people are saying we come because of Trump and we're out to get Mike Pence and we want to hang some of them. So you'll hear in their own words what they say. In terms of witnesses, I think it's too late to change the rules. I think they've already decided it's going to be 16 hours with a vote coming soon after that.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't aware of that because I thought that option was still there because I think his supporters, especially since a lot of them thought that they were going to get clemencies or whatnot, be excused for their behavior, to actually have them, you know, basically we were there. What they were hoping to achieve out of their mouths, I think that would be much more impactful than having a representative of the United States given their interpretation, because it's always going to be an implied bias especially being the other party. The only other thing I would say before you let me go is I think it's in order to fundamentally change the Republican Party, they're going to have to splinter and have a second option, which of course will cause them to lose elections and then force them ultimately to come together. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's certainly a big part of the debate out there, Mike. It could be. I'm not going to speculate about whether or not there'll be a split. I think there was a big Zoom meeting last Friday in which several very angry Republicans who don't like the Trump version of the party are trying to figure out what to do. We'll cover it. I'm not going to speculate as to whether or not it'll be successful. To your point that there ought to be witnesses, there is, as we reported yesterday, there are many people coming forward that took part in the Capitol riot and are saying that Trump made them come. And I'm just reading a story right now from today. And you might listen to yesterday's program. Yesterday, we also cited the Mother Jones report in which 13 people who were a part of the Capitol invasion said that they were told to invade the Capitol by President Trump. But there is a new, and now I've lost the story, but there is yet another person who's come forward who says that he's a Proud Boy, and President Trump asked him to come to the Capitol to conduct the riot. And I, as it turns out, I don't have it with me. I'll just urge you to look up the headline, U.S. Judge Orders Detention for Alleged Proud Boy Who Blames Trump for Capitol Riots. More and more people coming forward who were part of that invasion who say directly tie President Trump to the reasons why they invaded the Capitol. Let's go to D in Tampa. D, what would you like to say? D? All right, D, we'll put you on hold for a sec. Let's go to Steve in Sarasota. Steve, what would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Listen, enjoyed your presentation at UU last Sunday. Want to start by saying that Plaskett put forward the most brilliant, well-organized explanation of the nurturing, the planning, the incitement, the whole package of how Donald Trump organized and incited the riot to take the Capitol, stop the election process. I believe had it been more successful, if you will, in Trump's view, he would have then declared a national emergency and we would still have him in office at this very moment if I speak to you.
Yeah, clearly I think he was hoping for something really big. It wasn't quite as big as he had hoped. But Steve, thanks a lot. Thanks for the compliment, too, about the Unitarian Church presentation. Let's listen to... this is the not a Congress member, but she is from the Virgin Islands, and she represents the Virgin Islands in Congress, but they don't have a vote in Congress. Her name is Stacey Plaskett. We're going to hear her first in this next segment. This is where they showed video from the January 6th incursion, video that had never before been seen. And let's listen to some of what Stacey Plaskett, and then I think we're going to hear from Eric Swalwell of California, what they presented yesterday.
Radio communications from the Metropolitan Police Department highlight how during and following President Trump's speech, Trump supporters descended on the Capitol and became increasingly violent. What you are about to hear has not been made public before.
Multiple capital entries! Multiple capital entries!
13-18.
12-5, and we're coming around from the south side.
To be advised, the speech ended.
Intel 1, be advised, you got a group of about 50 charging up the hill on the west front, just north of the stairs. They're approaching the wall now.
They're starting to dismantle their reviewing stands and throwing metal poles at us. 50, give me DSO up here now! DSO! Multiple law enforcement entries! DSO, get up here!
In another radio communication between Metropolitan Police officers, you can hear an officer declare that there is a riot at the Capitol at 1:49 p.m.
Who
Police are 50. We're going to give riot warnings. As soon as the outlet is here, we're going to give riot warnings. We're going to try to get compliance, but this is now effectively a riot.
1349 hours, declaring it a riot.
We are seeing the inside view as the mob approaches from outside and beats the windows and doors. You can see that the rioter first break the window with the wooden beam that you saw previously, and a lone police officer inside responds and begins to spray the first man who enters, but is quickly overwhelmed. I want you to pay attention to the first group of assailants as they break into the building. The second man through the window is wearing full tactical body armor and is carrying a baseball bat. Others are carrying riot shields. Among this group are members of the Proud Boys, some of whom, like Dominic Pizzola, who was recently indicted on federal conspiracy charges, we will discuss later. In this security footage, you can see Officer Goodman running to respond to the initial breach. Officer Goodman passes Senator Mitt Romney and directs him to turn around in order to get to safety. On the first floor, just beneath them, the mob had already started to search for the Senate chamber. Officer Goodman made his way down to the first floor. On the left-hand side of the video, just inside the hallway, is the door to the Senate chamber. And watch how Officer Goodman provokes the rioters and purposefully draws them away from the door to the Senate chamber and towards the other officers waiting down the hall. The rioter seen carrying a baseball bat in this video is the same one we saw moments ago breaching the window on the first floor. While all of this was going on, Vice President Pence was still in the room near the Senate chamber. It was not until 2:26 that he was evacuated to a secure location. This next security video shows that evacuation. His movements are depicted by the orange dot in our model. The red and blue dots represents the location where the mob and Officer Goodman were, and where Officer Goodman led the mob away from the chamber just moments ago. You can see Vice President Pence and his family quickly move down the stairs. The Vice President turns around briefly as he's headed down. About the same time Capitol Police announced that Capitol had been breached, Speaker Pelosi's staff heeded the call to shelter in place. As you can see here, the staff moves from their offices through the halls and then enters a door on the right-hand side. That's the outer door of a conference room, which also has an inner door that they barricaded with furniture. The staff then hid under a conference room table in that inner room. This is the last staffer going in and then barricading themselves inside of the inner office. After just 7 minutes of them barricading themselves and the last staffer entering the door on the right, a group of rioters enter the hallway outside. And once inside, the rioters have free rein in the Speaker of the House's offices. In this security video, pay attention to the door that we saw those staffers leading into and going into. One of the rioters you can see is throwing his body against the door three times until he breaks open that outer door. Luckily, when faced with the inner door, he moves on.
This security footage, which does not have sound, shows a close-up of Trump's mob as they move toward the second floor of the House chamber to stop the counting of votes. This security video shows Ashley Babbitt, followed by others in the mob, turning the corner toward the House lobby doors where the members were leaving. This security video from 2:56 p.m. shows the mob in the House of Representatives wing on the second floor of the Capitol. Insurrectionists who are still inside the building are fighting with the police, who are overwhelmed and trying to get them out. In this security video, you can see how the Capitol Police created a line and blocked the hallway with their bodies to prevent rioters at the end of the hall from reaching you and your staff. Additional security footage shows how Leader Schumer and the members of his protective detail had a near miss with the mob. They came within just yards of rioters and had to turn around. Going up the ramp with his detail, he'll soon go out of view. Seconds later, they return and run back down the hallway, and officers immediately shut the door and use their bodies to keep them safe. Here's an audio recording from the radio traffic of the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department describing the violence.
Cruiser 50, I copy. We're still taking rocks, bottles, and pieces of the flag and metal poles. Cruiser 50, the crowd is using munitions against us. They have bear spray in the crowd. Bear spray in the crowd.
In a separate Metropolitan Police Department radio traffic recording, you can hear an officer when he realizes that the insurrectionists had overtaken the police line.
We lost the line. All NPDs pull back. All NPDs pull back up to the upper deck. All NPDs pull back to the upper deck. ASAP. All NPDs come back to the upper deck.
Hours after members of the House and Senate had left this area, on the west front of the building, the mob continued to grow, continued to beat the officers as they tried to get in. In this new security video, you can see the mob attacking officers with a crutch, a hockey stick, a bullhorn, and a Trump flag.
Congressman Eric Swalwell of California making some of the presenting some of the new video evidence that's emerged since January 6th. Eric Swalwell did that yesterday. We also heard before that Stacey Plaskett, who's a non-voting member of Congress from the Virgin Islands, talking about the Capitol Police who were overrun. We're getting a lot of comments about this audio, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Greg writes, one thing that stood out in yesterday's video was a Trump supporter waving a Police Lives Matter flag while those around him were assaulting the police, writes Greg. And then Kevin writes, Senator Rick Scott could not watch the video of the Capitol riot. He chose to look down at papers on his lap. Think about that. The richest person in the U.S. Senate could not bring himself to do the simple task of considering the evidence. Talk about a fraud. Florida deserves better than this. I should say that I think it's clear that both our U.S. senators are going to vote to acquit President Trump. And we get secondhand. The video from the Senate chambers is not allowed to veer from the speaker's podium. So we don't get the chance to see what other senators are doing during the proceedings. So we get this secondhand through reporters who are in the gallery who are watching and can tell us what Josh Hawley is doing or what Marco Rubio is doing or what Rick Scott is doing. But I sure wish there was video so we could see how closely our senators are paying attention to the video that's just come out. James writes, I don't know what it will take for the GOP senators to convict. Facts don't matter. Shame doesn't work. I believe if Pence had been killed, sad to think, but they would still not convict, writes James. And then Peaceman writes, question I hope is put to the Trump team. How could an innocent man react at the onset of the insurrection? I think that is the big question. Why didn't President Trump act quickly to put down that insurrection? He has the power to call out security forces. They could have moved in and helped those people who were being overrun. But as we know, President Trump never did that. Why did he not do that? Unless he wanted the insurrection to succeed. 813-239-9663, our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Les in Brooksville. Les, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob. Great show as always. Thanks for taking my call. Always intellectually stimulating. When this thing first came down, I smelled a rat, and I still do, because the videos and images coming out of the Capitol all seem to be posed, sort of made for TV, Hollywood, movies kind of stuff. And I was just wondering, who in the world at the Capitol or in the government is the people, you said this was a new, never seen before video. Who is monitoring these? Who's collecting these? The FBI or who? And who is selecting those images and, you know, voiceovers or whatever that we're hearing and providing that to the public?
Well, the video comes from a variety of sources. It comes from Capitol security cameras. It comes from the demonstrators themselves, the people that led the insurrection. It comes from reporters who were embedded in the Proud Boy groups and other groups that were invaded. It comes from a whole variety of sources. And to say that it was posed, Les, forgive me for saying that, but that is utter BS. If you've watched any of the video, you know it wasn't posed.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not going there, and I agree with you. But at the same time, somebody is going through these things and determining which ones are to be released and which ones aren't. That's all I'm saying. Who is back there determining which?
Well, clearly the Democrats are in charge of this phase, and I think that if there is a video component for the Republicans, they'll be in charge of that phase. I think all the video. I'm sorry,
Rob. Who is looking at these things? This group, this media. Who is looking at this media and determining which of these images are we going to release to the press? That's all I'm asking.
You know, Les, I'm not there. This is just a guess on my part, and I think the security video is probably available to both parties, the Republicans and Democrats. They'll be able to edit it the way they want. Democrats say that this is essentially just a TikTok. So when they released the initial video, the 13-minute video 2 days ago, that was essentially a timeline video of what happened. Not exactly by the minute, but certainly by the significant event, and it was done in order. As to whether or not there's other video that would exculpate President Trump, I don't know. I'm sure the Republicans have access to the same video the Democrats have access to, unless that video is done by individuals who have not shared it with Democrats or have not shared it with Republicans. So I'm not sure that's a major question, Les, and I hope you're not mad when I say that, but I just think that the Republicans will be able to edit the video they want and present it, and they will, beginning tomorrow. Thank you, Les, for the call, and let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. A couple things. First of all, I haven't really been listening to a lot of conservative media, but I'm just kind of curious how they're characterizing Trump's speech. I go back and listen. I remember listening to them when they keep talking about the Democrats are promoting violence, and they show Maxine Waters when she was making that speech that said, you know, when you get pushed, you push back, and are like, see, there's violence. She's inciting the crowd to violence. But I really haven't heard much about them saying anything about Trump's speech inciting violence.
Yeah, I'll just answer the question quickly. Rick Scott and others defending President Trump say that the president asked them to march peacefully. That's what our U.S. senators said. If you look at the video compilation, President Trump used the word fight at least 20 times as he was urging people to march up to the Capitol. So is fight a peaceful word? I think that's going to be part of the debate.
Well, you bring up, I want to try to be short so other people can get in. You bring up another point that's interesting. I know that if some guy that I know, my neighbors, he's married, I know his wife's having an affair, and she's down talking to the neighbor down the street, and I know he's got a gun and he's violent, and I go, yeah, your wife's down there right now, and I wind him up, and he goes down there and hurts the guy, I can be held liable for that because I wound him up knowing that he's going to go down there. But the second point I wanted to make was the shoe on the other foot. Imagine, I know this is tough, that if Hillary would have won the first election, second election, Donald Trump ran again against Hillary, Hillary lost. Now, if Hillary was up there saying stop the steal and a crowd went up to the Capitol, what do you think the conservative media would be saying? That no, she didn't do it, she didn't do it. I just wonder. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, I think we all know the answer to that question. I think more to the point, too, what if Maxine Waters had urged Black Lives Matter protesters to fight and go up and march on the Capitol, and then they broke in? What would be the reaction on Fox News? You know, just think about that. 813-239-9663. Yesterday, and this goes to John's point and other callers' points, what led up to the anger that brought people to descend on Washington on January 6th? This wasn't just a sudden decision by people to show up. There had been months and months and months of preparation for this. And Joaquin Castro, the congressman from Texas, laid out some of what led to the anger that erupted on January 6th. This is what Joaquin Castro did on the Senate floor, presented on the Senate floor yesterday.
On November 5th, he tweeted in all capital letters, as if shouting commands, quote, "Stop the count. Stop the fraud." The same day as those tweets, around 100 Trump supporters showed up in front of the Maricopa County Election Center in Phoenix, some of them carrying rifles, literally trying to intimidate officials to stop the count, just as President Trump had commanded. This was dangerous, it was scary, and it was a blatant act of political intimidation. In Philadelphia, that same day, police investigated an alleged plot to attack the city's Pennsylvania Convention Center, where votes were being counted. Police took at least one man into custody who was carrying a weapon. And this happened all over, in Atlanta, in Detroit, and in Milwaukee. His supporters used armed force to try to disrupt lawful counting of votes because they bought into Trump's big lie that the election was stolen from them. President Trump's months of inflaming and inciting his supporters had worked. They believed it was their duty to quite literally fight to stop the count. So they showed up at election centers across the country to do just that.
This is a fraud on the American public. Yes. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We were winning in all the key locations by a lot, actually. And then our numbers started miraculously getting whittled away in secret.
And there it is. They had bought into his big lie.
That was what Joaquin Castro, part of what he presented yesterday. He's one of the House impeachment managers. He presented that to the U.S. Senate yesterday as an argument that President Trump used the months leading up to the election and after the election to stir up anger that culminated in January 6th. And what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663, and you're listening to 88.5 FM. Christopher writes, dear folks, worried the impeachment managers are not being aggressive enough. One, have they insisted U.S. senators who encouraged the insurrection must recuse themselves in the vote? And two, are they illuminating those complicit senators, writes Christopher, who lives in Tampa. Christopher, thank you for that. And then Jeff writes, yesterday a caller made a great Trump analogy. He talked about a loudmouth instigator going to a bar with his buddies, stirring up a brawl. All the buddies get arrested while the loudmouth sneaks out the back door. The truth is, the loudmouth probably won't be convicted. The lesson learned should be, don't be friends with that kind of guy, writes Jeff. As you did, I'm sure yesterday, I used a variety of sources to tap in to watch the Senate hearings on the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. Democracy Now, C-SPAN, CNN, MSNBC. Yesterday, every time I tuned into Fox, they were trying to change the topic.
Let me tell you.
So let's listen into a little bit of an altercation that happened yesterday on Fox News, where Juan Williams, who's sometimes the lone liberal throughout the day on Fox News, was complaining on the 5 that the Fox News channel was not paying enough attention to the video that had come out yesterday, especially the new video that came out yesterday. Here is Juan Williams arguing with his fellow Fox hosts.
Deal with that. Let me tell you, facing the truth is the way that we solve. It's the way we bring the country together. Ignoring problems is okay. Never the way to solve
you a shouldn't
problem.
Be impugning our Juan. Intentions, Juan. That's
I hope
the problem.
You didn't say
right.
We are standing with these
people. I don't need to impugn
people.
It. I can listen. And I can hear you.
And then it goes into your brain
either.
And it comes out wrong. That's on you, not on us. It's
no,
not
it came
our fault
out that
if you're getting
running,
it wrong.
Running in
it's
the
not
other
our
direction
fault if you're getting
you don't
it wrong.
Deal with what
it's not my problem, Juan.
No,
if
it's
you're
not
misinterpreting
my fault
what
that
I'm
you don't
saying,
deal
you
with
need
the
to
news.
Deal with that. You need to
oh,
deal
no,
with your
Greg,
problem.
Maybe you should listen
right.
to you
I
should
am.
Listen to what you say. Maybe you'd be outraged.
See, right, I would be outraged at what I'm saying? I don't think so. I think I'm making sense,
yeah, because yeah,
I think so. Right.
Terrible. All right, Juan. We got to go, but what you just did right there, Juan, that wasn't cool. You're a colleague of ours.
It was cool. It
and
was
we've been
the
talking
truth.
About this.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this for over a month. And none of us are standing with the mob. We've never stood with this mob. We've condemned it outright.
Absolutely.
And we're not ignoring it because
no,
we just
have.
Did 10
Why?
Minutes on it.
Every
so don't impugn
me of
integrity that
the
way.
News of the day.
All right?
The news.
We've denounced
the
all
news.
Of
the
unlike
it's over.
You.
We got to go. It's over. All right?
All right, so that was a liberal getting beat up yesterday on Fox News. You know, when I tune into Fox, I got to say that there are times where I see them during this impeachment process showing videos of puppy dogs. And I get more impeachment news from C-SPAN, Democracy Now!, CNN, and MSNBC. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Nav in Tampa. Nav, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Rob, I'm going to go a little bit farther and beyond this impeachment and this trial because I think it's a done deal. I think the issue in our country is, you know, we've become so polarized and everyone talks about various, you know, African-American, white issues, black issues, Asian issues. And I think this white privilege issue is coming into play because really in our society today, the most important color is the color green. And the more green you have, the more privilege you have, and the less green you have, the less privileged you are in the United States, irregardless of your race or ethnic background. And I feel our politics is 30, 40 years behind when we discuss. There are a lot of, you know, everyone talks about white privilege. I know so many white people who are suffering, and they don't feel privileged at all. And I think Trump was able to tap into that, and he's not God, Trump. He recognized under the current, there's a huge swath of the American public who are disillusioned with our government, with our society, and they feel no one's for them.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And Nav, I know you've listened at least recently. We've done a lot of programs about the income divide in this country, how it really hasn't been solved. It's a chronic problem. And our programs on the topic go back more than 20 years. But thanks for pointing it out. I think you're onto something. I don't know if President Trump had an answer to that income divide. You know, I didn't see it, but, you know, if somebody saw President Trump's answer to the income divide, I'd like to hear about it. Let's go to Tommy in St. Pete. Tommy, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I think the impeachment trial are doing a very good job of putting a chronological video together and describing what was happening on the scene at the same time what was happening with President Trump. When he was talking about things, about going to the Capitol when violence was actually happening at the Capitol. But this morning when I cut onto the women's program, they pulled a blurb from his speech from the 6th when he said something to the effect that he would be going over his evidence a little later on in his talk about all the reasons why this election was stolen. But I really don't hear anyone talking about his evidence for the stolen election and bringing that up. I would really like for the Democrats or the people seeking the impeachment to put together a chronological order for that would put his evidence for why he thinks this thing was stolen and show it, put it up to light.
Well, yeah, and Tommy, I think the reason why the Democrats don't do it is it's not their job. It really was President Trump's, when he made that claim initially, he never followed through with any evidence of the stolen election. So they did present it, what evidence they had in court. The courts threw it out in about 64 cases. It was all thrown out. There was never any sort of evidence of widespread voter fraud presented, even though the president's people went to court 64 times at least. David writes this, one thing I found interesting yesterday was how the Proud Boys incorporated Trump's phrase addressed to them, stand back and stand by, into their signs, clothing, etc. They really are Trump's thugs, writes David. And then Ken writes this, it's important to pay attention to what our senators have to say. Rubio said it was stupid to have a trial as America is already on fire. This would throw gas on it. So his solution is to let the arsonist go, writes Ken. Ken, thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones. You're listening to 88.5 FM, and we're getting your comments about the second day of the impeachment trial. And let's go to Grant in Tampa. Grant, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I know this is a little out of context, but at least from history lessons growing up through school, I remember the Alamo. And it is the only time in history that I can think of where an insurrection of this magnitude and scale had happened. And look at the result. The people who insurrected the Capitol in Texas were hung as a result. Now, I'm not certainly suggesting that's what should happen here. We've moved on from the 1800s. However, what I am saying is the grievances, the atrocities committed here should not be taken lightly. And to let the biggest culprit of them all walk away with it speaks to the justice system.
Okay. Grant, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. Let's go to David in Tampa. David, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I kind of want to make the point the writer David put in there about the, you know, Trump was asked during the debates to denounce white supremacy, and when Proud Boys is called out, he goes, stand by and stand down, and we were made fun of by a lot of people, you know, we're overreacting, but look what happened. They showed up. They stood by and hung out a bit waiting for him to say, hey, show up on the 6th and let's get wild and let's stop the steal. And the other thing I want to bring up was that we know this Q thing is a major part of this, and I'm very surprised this isn't being investigated further about who this was. I mean, they're very much, you know, whoever's posting as that, you know, saying all these lies. Congress and them should be, I mean, they should have the IP addresses, the FBI, they should be involved with.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, David. That's a great point. Thank you for making it. I think that's exactly right. Thank you. Marianne writes, the GOP will not convict Trump, so federal charges should be brought against him. Just arrest him. That will be the only way to have justice, writes Marianne. And let's go to Norman in Zephyr Hills. Hi, Norman. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Yes, sir. If the lady from the Virgin Islands, if it was true what she pointed out, that the permit for the rally was changed to a permit to march. It was also changed from January 22nd to January 6th. If that doesn't prove intent, I don't know what will. Intent means everything in this case, I believe.
All right, Norman, thanks a lot. Thank you. I wish we had more time. We're out of time. There is never enough time for this topic. And thank you for your phone calls, and thank you for your emails. I will answer your emails. And if you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We'll play more of the highlights of today's impeachment trial. Thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. This is 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg. Here is the latest news.